Welcome back to our Object Relations Lecture Series. I'm Dr. Susan Cavalier Adler, founder and executive director of the Object Relations Institute, and I've been teaching object relations theory for at least 35 out of 46 years of practice. Today I'm going to expand on thoughts about envy as a developmental process and issues, developmental issues related to envy. In other videos, I spoke about the oral instinctual aspects of envy and the destruction that can come with that in the mind or in behavior and in treatment. But today I'm going to speak about developmental aspects, and I want to mention D.W. Winnicott here. In my other videos, I was referring back to Envy and Gratitude by Melanie Klein in 1957. Winnicott said very little explicitly about envy, but he made one very important statement, which was that, and he was always in dialectic with Klein and always showing the side that Klein didn't show of the environment of the real mother, of the good enough mother, and how that can affect things. And she would focus more on the instinctual and innate aspects as they develop. So Winnicott made one very important statement that I wish was elaborated more by him, but wasn't. And that is that when a child can be felt to be part of the mother for a longer period of time, for the full era of the absolute dependence during the primary maternal preoccupation of the early infancy, and what Margaret Mahler referred to as the symbiotic period, and what Winnicott also called the uniform dyad, unity of the dyad. During that time, it's so critical that the child is able to live in the illusion that they're part of mother and that she's part of them. And what Winnicott is saying about envy is that the longer a child can feel some sense of this, as long as they need it developmentally before they go into separation and into weaning, bit by bit becoming their own person, they need enough of this fusion experience and the illusion of being inside the mother and she inside of them. They need enough of that to not feel from the beginning of life that they want to kill mother because she has it all and they have nothing, which is going back to the oral envy of Klein that's there in unconscious fantasies. So he's talking about what modifies envy, and actually he didn't even realize the profundity of envy as how destructive it is in its making the person insatiable in terms of negative therapeutic reaction. He was kind of minimizing it, saying that envy could be avoided to a large extent if the mother allows the child to feel they're part of them. In narcissistic dynamics, it's when the adult narcissist merges with another that they live in their glory. What I've written about is closet narcissism. Yes, for that period of time, when they feel that they're taking on whatever the grandiose other has who's orating to them, or in some way pontificating, and they're feeling like they can have what the other has by being in the audience. Well, at those moments, they don't feel envy because they're part of the other. But the minute the other is failing and they don't see him as a big success with all this grandiose glory, they feel enraged and they feel envious, because then it's like the other had it and they didn't have it, and they'll be robbed of it by the other not living up to being the grandiose one that they could be part of. So envy then takes place when there's a disruption in that illusion that you're part of the other. And this is very important in understanding closet narcissism, which I've written about it and spoken about at conferences. The developmental aspects come back to a real dispute between Winnicott and Klein. That Winnicott basically walked out on Klein when she wrote Envy and Gratitude and said, I'm no longer a Kleinian, or at least it's rumored that that was what she said to Claire Winnicott. But of course, Winnicott was always a Kleinian in his way. He talked about what Klein left out about the environment, the good mother, but he was always in dialogue with Klein and always giving her credit. But he got very angry because he didn't believe that a small infant just born can have sadistic, envious intentions. He thought that they definitely had innate aggression, but he thought that could be more like just an acting out of pre-Ruth or ruthlessness before the child had enough ego or self-development to know what they're doing. And so that they were just kind of innocently expressing primal sadism or aggression, but not with a kind of sadistic, envious intention. So this is a dispute, and one can see various sides, various attributes on both sides of the Kleinian side of emphasizing oral innate instinct and primal sadistic, envious aggression, and the other side of there being less of primal sadism and more of aggression that can be modified into assertiveness and healthy play and creativity, which Winnicott always emphasized. So the developmental view is important. My own view of developmental mourning speaks of how envy, if it's brought from unconsciousness to consciousness, can be contained in psychic fantasy and therefore not have to be acted out in destruction against another, so one destroys relationship, or against the therapist, so one has a negative therapeutic reaction and can't take anything in from the therapist to learn. But doesn't have to be expressed that way. It can become conscious and be contained through words and symbolism and mentalizing. However, and then I talk about the grief and mourning process that also involves awareness of conscious rage that one gets to as one separates from the mother and separation individuation takes place. So, part and parcel of envy is not only just the basic instinct and how destructive it can be, like vampire biting mouth and biting the hand that feeds you, but it can also be an experience of loss underlying envy. So, for example, when somebody was associating in a session to her fantasies about my going away for my August vacation, she pictured me off on an island and having everything in the world, being relaxed, while she was full of anxiety about her life and other things. Of course, the objective realities are totally irrelevant. This woman had more in her life in terms of homes and home by a lake and an ocean and all this. It was just her fantasy from the primal baby's point of view, a mommy having it all, being off enjoying herself on an island while I'm left here to suffer. As we got into this in the session, we got back to an early pre-Oedipal trauma that we've come upon many, many, many times. Everything, all roads leading to Rome, leading back to this primal trauma of the mother being away longer than she could tolerate at 2.5. And she could not, over and over, this trauma was dealt with, but it came up again in relation to this fantasy that I was going to go away from her. But unlike someone stuck in the state of envy, she was developmentally at a place now because of all the work we did on herself and other whole object development, empathic understanding of her subjective self as it developed, As she developed through developmental mourning and treatment, she became capable of feeling her aloneness and loneliness rather than just spacing out and detaching and dissociating. She became more and more of a whole person, so she could feel loss about me leaving her. And she could also feel that when she would be going away from me. But at this time, before my vacation, she was able to go back to that moment in the session. And I was able to say to her that she was feeling like she was going to be all alone in the world and that I was never coming back, which was the 2.5-year-old experience that she, her mother was away more than she could tolerate or continue to have an ego to image her mother. And so she felt like she was being annihilated without a mother, because a 2.5-year-old can't live without a mother. So, or a 2-year-old or an earlier, and these are all pre-edible stages. And I've had this in many different ways with different patients. But what I'm saying is we were able to move from her envy of me in the fantasy where I was off on an island having a world and she was left behind with nothing, to her feeling like a 2.5-year-old being left by me, the transferential mother at this point, leaving her all alone without another. And she was able to cry in this session and have a grief and have a containing experience within herself of feeling that child inside of her and being able to feel more compassion for her than she ever had before. So this was a developmental progression, and it was based on the developmental progress we had already made in the treatment. Okay, that's all I want to say today for the developmental aspects, although there's so much to say. But I wanted to bring in Winnicott as well as my own thinking about developmental mourning, give you a brief clinical example to help you understand the other side of the instinctual aspects of envy in the developmental aspects. I hope you enjoyed today's talk. Thank you.